to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning to you. I am Dr. Vincent Medici. Today we're going to go after one of those words that floats around in the holistic community that has never really made its way into medical science, that really and truly should, but has not. And one of the reasons this word is so misunderstood is because it's esoteric, and our job is to bring it into science. And the word is chakra, the healing chakra. Now, to some people, that's an occult term, and so you have to turn the other cheek. To many people in the yoga community, the holistic community, it's a word we use. And my point is, we could maybe get it into a more realistic terminology or a more realistic understanding, because right now, by and large, if the word is even used, that word is chakra. We say we have seven chakras. Some people say we have hundreds of chakras. My point is, can we get this into neuroanatomy? Can we get this into science? Can we get this into places where the rubber meets the road? And that's what my show is about. So join me. As always, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, two T's, not.com. If you're driving, as soon as you can, get on that website. You gotta do the show with the pictures. Picture number one, the chakras. What do we mean by the chakras? You're in yoga class this morning at your favorite yoga place, and the teacher's up there talking about the chakras and the healing energies and how this is very important, and it's poetic and it's colorful. Look at picture number one. The main chakras: survival, sexuality, power, love, communication, intuition, spirituality. What does this have to do with Wall Street and banking? Nothing. What does this have to do with Hoag and Cedars-Sinai and UCLA? Nothing. That's the problem, but there's a reason. This is an esoteric interpretation, and it's beautiful, and it's poetic, and there's a lot of validity to it. But that's not the way people tend to think in the trenches. The chakras do have something to do with healing. The communication of those wonderfully colorful places: survival, sexuality, power, love, communication, intuition, spirituality. The communication between those seven hot spots along your spine is vital to healing. But what does that mean when you're sick? What does that mean when you have cancer? What does that mean when you have pain, bad, unrelenting pain? What does that mean in war, in pestilence, in famine? So a lot of people look at the word as something that's groovy and cool and part of the holistic wave of young people under the age of 30 who like to chant at Yoga Works, so on and so forth. And that's unfortunate, because it's not really true. But we support this esoteric view when we don't understand it any further than the poetry. You got to bring the poetry, you got to mix it in. So look at these colored levels of the body. Some people say when these chakras open, you see colors. All of us have seen colors with our eyes closed, right? And under the care of a therapist, sometimes you're told, well, that's because we're affecting the chakra, and that's cool. Let's make it more than cool. Let's put this into the highest levels of science today. Picture number two. Just another version of it. The crown is violet. The intuitive center, the third eye, is an indigo. The throat is sky blue. The heart is green. The solar plexus is yellow. The sex chakra, the sacral chakra, is orange. And the root chakra is red. It's another interpretation. Let's go to picture three. Got to do those pictures. There's another cool, groovy picture. Let's put this up there at Cedar Sinai. What do you say? Hoag. The entrance to Hoag. Right? Before you go in for your proton beam therapy for your brain tumor, you look at that picture. That's my dream. But we got to do more. We've got to get this into reality. Now let's look at picture number four. That's the best one, right? Always put a pretty girl there with some esoteric jargon on it. And now you got it. Now there, that's the holistic community at its best. My question is, well, let's get down to picture 13. What does it mean there? Those are kids in India that live in garbage dumps. What does it mean in picture 14? That's good old West Virginia. That's up in the Appalachians. People so poor, you see those poor kids there? Those kids, they look a little bit inbred, don't they? Yeah, that's what happens there. That's our country. Look at picture 15. That's a famous Time magazine picture from the middle of Vietnam. Look at picture 16. That's World War I. Now let's go back. Do this with me. Journey with me. Get my perspective. Now go back to picture 4. Look at picture 4, and then look at those four pictures that I showed you. Put them side by side. I'm going to make a claim to you that the translation through the reality plane, right, through science, of picture 4 affects those other four atrocity pictures. That's where we're missing. That's where we have to improve. What does one have to do with the other? What we do is segregate that pretty girl in picture 4 with those nice colorful things along her spine. We segregate that into what we do in a yoga class. We segregate it from reality. They don't hook up, and yet they must hook up. And the way we dispense with medicine is a classic example of how it doesn't hook up. Even your oncologist will tell you to imagine colors. Some of them will. Go to those classes on healing. Now, what's the link? I'll give you the link in a minute. A little bit more definition. We say, picture 5. Go to square number 5, the root chakra. We say it's red. We say it's a grounding force that allows us to connect the earth energies and power our beings. We say it's the foundation of who we are on earth. We say it gives us great balance, contentedness, stability, and abundance. Just bear with me here. Let's go to picture 6, the heart chakra. My heart is to open to receive the energy of love. I radiate this essence. Look at the throat chakra, picture 7. I am aligned with my highest truth and communicate this with love and honor. You got to understand how our tradition in medicine isn't served by these definitions. Our tradition in medicine asks for something more tangible. Most of the people that talk the word and say the word chakra aren't really functional with the word, and so it's poetic and it's lovely and it's charming and it makes people smile in classes. But we got to do more than that. See, we get to the 7th chakra. Look at picture 11. The 7th chakra, the crown. I open to enlightenment. I am at one with spirit. I am divinely guided. What does that mean when you're growing a metastatic tumor? What does it mean when you're up for a back surgery? What does it mean when you've had a heart attack or a stroke? What does it mean when you're divorced? What does it mean when you've been violently attacked? Well, the roots of these traditions, the roots of the traditions that talk about chakras, meant it as very functional. It meant you work in your life to open your chakras so that you can meet the world with a greater steadfastness, with more skill, more functionality. The problem is we don't understand that the chakras are this. Now go to picture 17. Look at picture 17. That's a diagram from the human body. And you're going to see on that picture 17, the celiac ganglion, the superior mesenteric ganglion, the aortico-renal ganglion. Those are chakras. That's at the level of your will chakra. That's right at about your solar plexus. So the first hookup from the pretty girl in picture number 4 to reality is that the chakras are nerve plexuses. Now, a lot of people find that reductionist. No. A chakra is much more than that. Well, that's because they don't understand, and that's understandable, what a nerve plexus is. A nerve plexus is the conduit through which the body moves from the etheric to the material plane. Big words for it, your body is an electromagnetic field on one half of the photon, on one half of the picture, and on the other half, it's material. Your body's material chemistry, your heart, your physicality, is in part the product of the electromagnetic pulse. The body is biochemical, the body is biophysical. The body's material, the body's etheric. And the nervous system is the conduit that bridges the gap between the two. A nerve, your brain, your spinal cord, these peripheral nerves, chakras are peripheral nerves. They're peripheral nerve plexuses, and every organ in your body, every cell is under its influence. So now let's go back to the pretty girl. Let's go back to picture 4. Now look at picture number 4. We're talking about the groovy chakra. Purple to blue to indigo to green to yellow down to red. Look at that. Now think about what I just said. All we're doing is talking about nuances in the way the nerves discharge. And there's a whole incredible world of mystery there. You want to find God in the human body? Go look there. Because there's a lot of mystical God. So we represent that esoterically with colors and poetry and more etheric things. But the truth is, what everyone that doesn't know has to understand is, it's meant to be translated into a physical sensation in the body. If that woman is coherent at those levels, she's having a physical experience that's very different than other people. She's having a physical experience that's very optimal, transcendent, so that she's functionally superior when she talks to her boss and she wants a raise, when she talks to her husband and she wants a renegotiation of the relationship, when she talks to her children and those children need to be disciplined, when she gets into a little car accident and she has to exchange information with someone that doesn't have insurance and that isn't going to pay the bill. The real meaning of balance in those chakras is that you recruit that electromagnetic force to be more functional in the day's adversity. So, let's go back now to picture 6. Let's go back to picture 6, where we're looking at the heart chakra. My heart is open to receive the energy of love. I radiate, so on and so forth. let's go to picture 7. I am aligned with my highest truth, the throat chakra, and communicate this one with love and honor. What that really means in that little car accident, that you're aligned with your highest truth and communicate this with love and honor, is that you're in a physiological state whereby you can get out of the car, despite the fact that you were innocently injured in an accident. You've got your fender blown off. The other person has no insurance. What that means is that you're in a physiological state in that moment where you can calmly and benevolently solve the problem in the least amount of time and in the most efficient way. That's what it is to be fluid in your chakras. When it's time to talk, when it's time to let go of the fact that the other driver wasn't insured, when you feel, picture 9, the will chakra, when you feel that impulse to get angry and beat the person that hurt your car over the head, or yell at him, or scream, or get nasty, fluency, coherence with that chakra doesn't mean you tell yourself a poem. It means that you're in a physiological state before the accident so that you can meet your world with the right balance of will, the right balance of love, the right balance of speech in that moment. So what we're attempting to do here is to take a esoteric notion, the chakra, that we put on yoga billboards and chant to the religious community, the holistic community all over each day, and turn that into something meaningful. Because it's real. You have nerve plexuses. You go to picture 17. Those are nerve plexuses. You go to picture number 18. Look at picture 18. Now, there's a picture of your stomach. Picture 18. There's your stomach. And right there, bottom left, celiac, ganglion, and plexus. That's where that yellow color is. Just a coincidence, the nerves are colored yellow here. Nerves are not yellow in the body. They kind of look more like spaghetti. So look at that. That's a chakra. It's wrapped around the stomach, and it's sending electromagnetic pulses of information, and it's receiving information simultaneously. Look at picture 19. Go down to picture 19 there. That's way down low. That's the prostate gland there on the bottom, that bulbous thing. That's the bladder. That's the intestine. That's the abdominal aorta branching into the iliacs. That's the sacrum. That big anatomical mess there is just a sagittal cut into someone's body, and it's showing your organ systems. That's the male prostate there, that bulbous thing on the bottom towards the left, just above that hyaline cartilage, that blue sort of cartilaginous part of the body, just above it. That's a prostate gland. You see those yellow things gripping it? That's a nerve plexus. You're down there looking at your root. You're looking at some interface between the first and second chakra. So we can talk about the root chakra, and we can talk about the chakra just above it. What we're talking about are nerve plexuses. The question is, are you connecting to those plexuses? What does that mean? That is not a cerebral concept. That is a physical experience in varying degrees. When you constrict the anal sphincter, or when you hold your urine in, or when you defecate or urinate, you're playing around with those nerve plexuses. We all have connections to these plexuses. Question is, do we have mastery of these connections to those plexuses? So from first to second to third to fourth to fifth to sixth to seventh, to all the gamut of colors of the rainbow from the root to the crown. Do we have control over that? What does that even mean? Okay, now you got to get into something. You got to dig a little deeper here. You got to get into the autonomic nervous system. Because that's what these chakras really are. These chakras are the autonomic nervous system. The autonomic nervous system is that nervous system. Go to picture number 22. You're looking at picture number 22. What is the autonomic nervous system? Now, you've heard me talk about the autonomic nervous system before, no doubt. If you're new to the show, well, get to the website. straighttalk.cc. I'm always talking about the autonomic nervous system. The autonomic nervous system is the chakras. So there, the mystery's over. We've been studying the autonomic nervous system for hundreds of years. We've had less than scientific versions of it for thousands of years. But there's not a function in your body, not a cell in your body. There's no disease. There's no repair. There's no connection with God. There's no nothing. Unless it's mediated through the autonomic nervous system. That's a bunch of Ronzoni spaghetti fibers, angel hair pastas, from the brain to the spinal cord to nerve plexuses, emanating electromagnetic fields that influence the chemistry of your cell. So when we talk about chakra, we say the autonomic nervous system. Done. That is the end of this. And we say the autonomic nervous system then is broken down into two distinct parts. Sympathetic and parasympathetic. Now, you know, there's a reductionist view of the autonomic nervous system, meaning there are people who don't really understand what it is, don't really understand that there's mystical experience within the function of the autonomic nervous system. And so when you try to say to other people, well, the chakra is the autonomic nervous system, they don't like that because they think you're taking away from the mystical, etheric part of it. But if you talk to neuroanatomists, neurophysiologists, even pharmacologists with their head on straight, there is so much subtle influence, unknown mystical influence between the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems, the autonomic nervous systems, into your experience of reality. From the production of DMT to the production of melatonin to all sorts of paraphysiological states and healings and miracles and people beating the odds, that there's no end to the mystical dynamic of the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous systems. So really, we have a superfluous issue here. In other words, Cedars-Sinai and Hoag think this is all mystical garbage, and yet the mystical people, much that abounds in the yoga community, won't acknowledge the science of it. And neither the science of Cedars-Sinai or Hoag nor the esoteric aspect of yoga ever meant to deny the other side. And this is the problem. This is why we have such derision. This is why you, with your symptoms sitting there right now, whatever that symptom may be, chronic symptom, debilitating disease, anxiety, depression, whatever it is, you have to look to the chakras. Your doctors in your hospitals should be telling you this. And your yoga teachers and your experience of yoga should be making this functional. So let's keep studying. Let's deepen the material plane here. So, the pretty little girl up there, picture number four. Well, she's an adult. She's not a little girl. That woman, picture number four, is supposed to be balanced, relatively speaking, within those shocks. And if you jump on down now to picture number 22, you're looking at why. What we're saying then is that when her sympathetic nerves are firing, that they are very much balanced by her parasympathetic nerves when they're firing. So we say the heart speeds up when you run down the street in a crisis, when there's a fire or an earthquake, when you're competing at the track, when you're swimming in a pool or in the ocean. We say that the sympathetic part of these Ronzoni spaghetti angel hair fibers that are all around your heart. Yes, they're all around your heart. They really and truly are. That's why you're going to go now to picture 20. Look at picture 20. There's a picture of the heart. Nerves of the heart. It says nerves of the heart. And if you blow that picture up so you can see it, that yellow track of nerves actually becomes a yellow track of nerves on the heart itself. And that yellow track of nerves on the heart itself is composed of the two divisions of that autonomic nervous system. And when you want to speed the heart up so you can run your fastest and jump your highest, those nerves, called the sympathetic nerves, fire. They send more rapid electrical impulses so the heart can work harder. And then when you rest, the parasympathetic fibers take over and the heart starts to what? It starts to relax. The heart slows down. And this balance is integral to the health of the body. So we say autonomic balance means that the speed up, slow down part of each and every level of the body. Chakras are levels. The speed up, slow down pacing of every level of the body is balanced. Now there's a translation of that, of course. It means that the sympathetic nervous system has to turn on, and then the parasympathetic has to turn on so the sympathetic can turn off. On, off, on, off, on, off. Well, that's kind of the way it is, isn't it? That's just common sense. So the electrical wiring that mediates, that holds the electricity, are the nerves, are the nerve plexuses. And their ability to turn on and turn off. That woman there, picture four, she gets into a little car accident. Well, obviously, it's not time to go to sleep. Obviously, it's time to stand up, get out of your car, take your iPhone, photograph the other person's car, their license plate, check them out to see if they don't have a gun and are going to shoot you, look for witnesses. I mean, you got to get moving on it. But you can't jump out of your car like a chicken without a head. You can't jump out of your car frantic and hysterical. You can't jump out of a car with a baseball bat or a gun and shoot the person that just was looking at their cell phone and bashed into your rear. The fact that you do or don't, the balance you bring to that moment is a matter of complementary impulses that are being and firing at light speed so that you can mediate the moment. And that's what we call balance. And so that picture there, number four, what that's supposed to mean, the metaphor really in for picture number four is that when you run into a conflict with that woman, she's going to meet you in a balanced way. She's going to respond appropriately. That's what it really means. Now, whether she's going to do that or not is another question. She may just be a model getting paid for the picture. We may just be chanting in a yoga class a lot of mumbo jumbo. We may be deranged, retarded people who are simply doing poetry and esoteric gibberish and nonsense. Or we may really have this so mastered that we can use it, well, when the chips are down. Picture 13. Anybody ever go to India or hear from people? And you meet these little kids, you meet the adults, and they're happy? And they're not kvetching, and they're not cynical, and they're not hateful, and they have philosophy, and they have theology, they have opinions politically, and many of them are filled with love, and yet they live in a certain level of anguish and poverty. Well, I'll take picture 13 if they act that way over picture 4 if she's a faker. And so on and so forth. We don't want to get gruesome here. But I like using extremes because they illustrate. Really, the greatest travesty that we can do to the chakras is to not train people, not educate people to have an understanding of it, a functional understanding, so that those gruesome pictures aren't so gruesome anymore. And that's really the whole point of holistic medicine. You're being told by your relatives, by too many medical doctors, by lots of established factions of our society, that all this holistic talk is a lot of mumbo jumbo, when in fact a lot of holistic medicine is mumbo jumbo. And without being negative or condescending, that has to be acknowledged by everybody. And at the same time, we have to understand that the heart and essence of science very much should be in support. And that's why you have to get educated. Because if you really understand what I'm talking about here, what my 230 shows now are trying to put forth is that bridge between the two. God and science are holding hands. They were separated by a deal that René Descartes made with the Vatican a long time ago. Listen to the Candace Pert interviews with Bill Moyers years ago. History supports, fully documents what I'm saying to you. And that separation of God and science, that separation was just a decision. It was a political decision. It was a political decision based upon political expediency. The minute we took the esoteric out of science, we marginalized the divine. We marginalized potentials to heal. And yet we've got to come at it as scientifically as we can. So the sympathetic, parasympathetic nerves do represent, in fact, the chakras. And these chakras are in balance as you face your world. Now, there's a chemistry behind this. And that chemistry, the mediation of these impulses, translates into a balance between two neurotransmitters. So I want you to go down to picture number 38. Go to picture 38. And I've mentioned these neurotransmitters before, but we're giving it to you in a slightly different slant today. GABA and glutamate. When you're sympathetic dominant, so remember that word, when your sympathetic nerves fire, 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 and don't shut off, at the expense of your parasympathetic nerves, then your body's firing glutamate, 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 and glutamate. Glutamate speeds things up. Glutamate, if you look at that picture, major excitatory neurotransmitter, regulates synaptogenesis and neurogenesis, excitotoxicity. You make all sorts of toxic chemicals when you can't relax. So those sympathetic impulses, somebody rear-ends your car, you get out of the car, you're upset, and it just keeps going into a frenzy. That behavior is mediated through sympathetic impulses at the end of nerve junctions producing glutamate. And balance is when GABA, its counterpart, begins to secrete and the production of glutamate begins to turn off. What precedes that is a switch somewhere up in your brain. So speed it up. You're producing glutamate, and more glutamate to the point where you're like a rabid animal. And slow it down is when the parasympathetics take over and you start seeing an abundance of the functional GABA. So there it is. Sympathetic, parasympathetic, glutamate, GABA. That's what you got to get out of this. There's much ado about that. There's much to say. We like to use amino acids to help influence GABA. We like to take a diet. Make food choices that minimize glutamate. Glutamate-free diets. Not going to get into it. Just look it up. Easy to access that information. It's the concepts. GABA-promoting diets. Mackerel has a lot of GABA. There you go. There are foods that promote, that have GABA in them. Mackerel has a lot of GABA. The fish, mackerel, must be a mellow fish. Must drive by big sharks that want to eat it and just smile and say hello. If you bite its tail off, it might laugh. GABA does that. GABA makes it all okay. GABA brings satiety. Those of you with IBS, go down there and look for GABA. There's less GABA down there with people who have IBS. Stress. Stress from relationships. Stress from work. Stress from food. Denies the production of GABA, enhances the production of glutamate. That toxicity creates all sorts of imbalances in peristaltic function and diffusion processes across the intestines. Thus IBS. Thus Crohn's. Thus ulcerative colitis. The neurodegeneration that we see with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, senility. See National Geographic, Stress, Portrait of a Silent Killer. It's a one-hour documentary. It's free on YouTube. Wonderful exposé into GABA, glutamate, sympathetic, parasympathetic stress, how stress killed. I don't mean emotional stress only. I mean the stress from sucking in fumes in San Pedro and Long Beach and Redondo Beach and Huntington Beach. And too many places in Southern California. The stress of chemistry, the stress of emotions, the stress of structural stress. Start to imbalance because stress is sympathetic nerves firing, glutamate, and no parasympathetic, minimal GABA. And of course, that nerve that mediates parasympathetic is what? That's the vagus nerve. That's cranial nerve 10. So we all end up sooner or later here in the brain. We end up in the brain. So go to picture number 37. I duplicated this. Picture 36 and picture 37. They're the same pictures. They're so important I put them there twice. Autonomic control. The hypothalamus has two tracks in it. So hypothalamus, what hypothalamus? Let's go to picture number 35. Let's go to picture 35. See that picture number 35 there? Look at those colored those colored little islands there. Turquoise and green and violet and red. Those are in the hypothalamus gland. Just below it, that little grape there, that stalk with a grape, that's your pituitary. Hypothalamic pituitary junctions. That's the hypothalamus we're talking about. The hypothalamus. Look at picture number 30. 3,500 years ago, Egyptians already knew about this. Yeah, that's the third eye. That's the higher chakra. That's basically saying we have always known in all traditions that what's going on there behind your forehead there in that hypothalamic pituitary region is something very important to the way you see your world and the way you function. And for the purposes of this show, whether you heal slowly, heal quickly, never get sick, or don't ever heal at all. It's all about up there, mediating the balance between the autonomic nerve fibers and thus the balance between GABA and glutamate. You're getting it now. I know you're getting it. So you can take little pieces of this show and get it anywhere, but you will not put it together. Synthesis is why you pay money for counsel. It's why you pay money for literature. Synthesis, bringing together of concepts. The data acquisition, we have the computer. You can acquire the data on the computer. But to synthesize it into functional concepts, that is the art form that you are engaging in when you listen to this show. By the way, if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. This is Christian Radio, I'm proud to say. This is the intersection, well, I can't say of faith and reason, because that's what Glenn Beck says, so I can't say that, but I love that. Cheers for the person that put that one together. You know that Glenn Beck show there with that wonderful English woman there, with that voice of hers? The intersection of faith and reason. It's just phenomenal. And that's what we need. Faith and reason. It's the esoteric with the hardcore of science. This is science. And cultures before science empirically understood this. That's why I love that Egyptian thing. Not that you would pray to Horus, but that you would understand that cultures many thousands of years ago, before we had science as we know it today, understood this through experience. When I asked you to go and look at that show, The Pyramid Code, I put that YouTube clip on my site a while ago. The Pyramid Code, Episode 4, The Empowered Human. It talked about Egyptian culture, effectively pre-dynastic Egypt. That means Egypt before 3,000-4,000 BC, before we had the pharaohs and the dynasties in the sense that we understand Egypt. So it's pre-dynastic. Their entire culture revolved around training young men and women to have a physical experience of the opening of these centers. And it's the same with yoga. It's the same in India. It's the same in China. It's the same for American Indians. It's the same for South Americans. It's the same for Arabs. For Africans. It's the same for every cultural group that has ever lived if you trace them back far enough. Somehow, technology has gotten in the way of this. And this is where we have to be very cognizant of a critical shift that is ever more important to all of us. So this hypothalamus gland, let's look at why I get so high on picture 36. There it is. We've got the tracks figured out. Up there in the hypothalamus are junctions between sympathetic and parasympathetic fibers. Way up there is a switch that's mediating whether you get out of the car and beat the person that fender-bended you over the head with a stick, or whether you smile and radiate such calm that you bring out the best of that person for a rapid, efficient transaction in a difficult time. And that's how we prevent poverty, and that's how we prevent wars. And it's all up there in that hypothalamic area. So hypothalamus, pituitary, vagus nerve, sympathetic, parasympathetic, glutamate, GABA, balance. Do you know what that is? I just defined the prerequisite for getting rid of your symptoms. I just defined the prerequisite for curing your disease. I just defined the prerequisite for bringing a higher healing force. A higher healing force. Translated into science, that means an increase in the efficiency of every single cellular system that repairs the cell versus those systems that destroy the cell. From the production and targeting of stem cells into the sites that are needed, to the increase in the synthesis of the antioxidant, to a decrease in the formation of free radical. And if looking at a cell under an electron microscope to a seasoned eye, a seasoned cell biologist, that biologist will say, I don't know what it is, but this cell is starting to repair with efficiencies that we can measure at an accelerated rate. And if you take it from that electron microscope out to the patient, the client, the sick, ailing person, you see a reduction in symptomology. Now, if that isn't good enough science for you, I'll tell you, you need to go back and re-educate yourself as to what science is. There's no scientist anywhere that should argue with what I just said. The relationship between balance through the autonomic endocrine system and the rate at which a cell will repair. It's to say, if this were being translated correctly, when you got your season's physical at your favorite hospital with your favorite doctor, they would be monitoring your ability to balance through the autonomics. They would say, based on testing, you're starting to go into more accelerated rates of breakdown and less than optimal rates of repair. And this is the prerequisite to disease. And that disease will target where you're genetically disposed. We should be using those tests, those genetic tests, and interpreting them not as, let me cut your breasts off because you've got the BRCA25 gene and it's homozygous, rather than go, we'll cut your organ out because you're genetically predisposed, because that's smart. What we'll do is we'll look at all the markers that will tell us eventually that mother gene will express as your epigenetic factors, those that are under your control. Not all epigenetics is under your control. But as the epigenetic factors under your control work for you rather than against you, or vice versa, do we then give you the red flag? Okay, now you're going to have to listen to the show again. That one did it, right? Didn't that last one do it? You were good. You were good. You were listening. You were happy. You felt like you had it. Then I had to say that, right? Now you have a headache. That's all right. That's why this is on the archives. Come on, $25 for 230 shows? What, everything has to be free? Ought to be free? This is America. Free? I don't know about that word free. Everything costs. It's about value on your dollar. $24.95 for 230 shows? Come on. You have to listen to this show again if you're new to the show. You got to get the concepts if you're looking to heal. If you're looking to heal, not deal with symptom, not deal with disease, not deal with anything except what it takes to heal, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Now go tell your relatives. Go tell your neighbors. Go tell your friends. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to have to look at people that are going to look at you like you're cuckoo. What a world. You're going to look at people that are going to tell you, this guy Medici, this isn't science. My medical doctor didn't tell me anything about this, so that means it doesn't exist. I mean, why do you think we have guys like Dr. Oz? Say what you want about him. He's out there, man. I love Dr. Oz. Good, straight-talking New York guy. I don't care about this, that, and the other thing. I really don't. The guy's out there, and he's doing the best he can to put forth concepts that are way ahead of mainstream medicine. And by the way, mainstream medicine is on his tail. It's going to go that way. Not completely. It'll never go that way completely. But it's moving in that direction. You're here to accelerate that, and I'm giving you the tools. Because I know what happens. I know. I live it every single day. People going down to a variety of illnesses, being counseled to do more of the same things that made them worse and worse and worse. And that's because when somebody says, give me a reasonable explanation for why you should cleanse, for why you should think in terms of balancing your chakras, for why you should do any of this holistic mumbo jumbo, nobody gives them a real answer. They just show them a picture like the girl in number four. There. That's what I offer to my medical doctor, the woman on picture number four, because that's going to change his mind. How about this? How about handing him picture number 36 and say, the glutamate-GABA balance, which determines whether my cell will accelerate or decelerate repair, is located high up in the hypothalamic region. And these portals are accessible, as has been empirically observed, meaning if you do it, you'll see it works. Hans Selye, The Stress of Life, saying what I'm saying in a far more scientific, technical tone. That's your job. That's why you listen to this show. So pat yourself on the back if you do regularly. It is the future. Turning this esoteric stuff into hard science is our future. Because it once was, and it will once be again. The foundation through which we reason and experience our day. Now, last hookup here. Picture number 41. There's the cell. I want to move away from colored chakras to pretty women stamped with chakras, to pictures of the hypothalamus, the pituitary, sympathetic, parasympathetic, GABA, glutamate, pictures of nerve plexuses, poor people in India, poor people in Appalachia, victimized people in Vietnam years ago, victimized people wherever, World War I. Forget it all. Let's just go to picture number 41. There's the cell. You have a symptom. I don't care what the symptom is. I don't care what the disease is. Wherever it is, it's a cell gone amok. Simple. That cell has parts. Mitochondria, centrioles, vesicles, endoplasmic reticulum, ribosomes, flagellums, lysosomes, Golgi complexes, nucleuses, DNA. That cell has parts. Does that cell look like picture 41? Or picture 43. Go to picture 43. There's picture 43. That cell on 43 has been attacked by free radicals. Big word for chemicals, compounds that eat your cell. The cell has been eaten away. Are you picture 41 or are you picture 43? Has that cell degraded to apoptosis, which is suicide, senescence, which is uselessness, or anaplasia, which is malignancy, cancer? Has the cell died and birthed forth anaplastically into a malignancy? Is the cell simply not doing its job? Is it senile? Or is it just committing suicide in horde with its other cells? Is your brain disappearing? Is your brain useless? Or do you have a malignancy in the brain? Or whatever organ? Here's the bottom line. Before that cell breaks down, a process, picture 44, oxidative phosphorylation of the cell. Oxidative phosphorylation occurring in the mitochondria of the cell. Mitochondria is a piece in the cell where something called oxidative phosphorylation occurs, which is this well-studied process where we produce this all-important molecule called ATP, in which the cofactors to this include our vitamins and all sorts of supplements, most of which don't do a darn thing. But that's what we do. We extrapolate out of good science to make questionable science so that good scientists can get angry at questionable scientists and destroy our profession. So understand that the cell, as it was when you were pubescent, meaning healthy, to where postmenopausal, male or female, 60s or 70s, that cell begins to shrivel. And you begin to feel symptomology, chronic illness, and then finally life-threatening, incapacitating problems. Make no mistake about it. The journey of the sugar molecule to the production of adenosine triphosphate, that process has become exceedingly inefficient. Exceedingly inefficient. So what happens is that ATP will get diverted into two places. Place one is repair the cell. Place two is accelerate the function of the cell. Does your heart want to keep pumping, or does it want to spend some time repairing? Are you repairing or are you stressing? Repairing or stressing? Repairing or stressing? If you can shift the balance into GABA, into parasympathetic, into hypothalamic balance, you create the prerequisite for repair. And until that balance is shifted that way, it doesn't happen. When you relax and you let go is when you begin to heal. That's what it really means. I'll see you guys next week. Think about this show. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.